All right, ready to dive into another case. This one's got it all. International intrigue, stolen customer lists, and a few legal fumbles along the way. It's AFA Tours, Inc. v. Whitchurch, a Second Circuit decision that'll remind us why procedure is just as important as the facts of a case.
You got that right. It might sound a little dry at first, but trust me, this one's full of lessons about jurisdiction, damages, and what happens when courts jump to conclusions.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so picture this. AFA Tours, they specialize in those luxury trips to Australia and New Zealand, right? Well, they accuse their former employee, Mr. Whitchurch, of taking their super valuable customer list to, like, start a rival company. Total drama. They sue him for a hefty sum. We're talking over $50,000, claiming misappropriation of trade secrets. Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it?
Well, not quite. You see, the district court, it kind of unexpectedly dismissed the case. They said AFA couldn't possibly prove those damages, all because Whitchurch initially only secured two customers from that supposedly secret list.
Hold on, they shut the whole thing down because of just two customers? That doesn't sound right.
You're catching on quick. The Second Circuit agreed with you and reversed the dismissal. They said the district court messed up, made two big errors. First, they didn't even give AFA a chance to, like, present evidence about their damages. Like, imagine refusing to taste a cake just because it wasn't frosted yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Everyone deserves a fair shot, right? To present their case, I mean, so what was the second mistake?
They got the whole legal test for jurisdiction wrong. It's not about proving you'll win that exact amount in damages. It's more about whether it's even possible your claim could be more than that threshold.
So you're saying you just need to show the court you have a chance to hit that $50,000 mark, not like absolute proof right then and there.
You got it. The standard is legal certainty, meaning the court has to be absolutely sure the claim is for less than $50,000 to toss it out. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more.
Well, the district court, they kind of missed the forest for the trees, you know? They totally overlooked other ways AFA could have been damaged. Future profits Whitchurch could make using the list, potential punitive damages, even the value of stopping future harm with an injunction. They got so fixated on those two customers, they missed the bigger financial picture.
Wow, yeah, they really did get tunnel vision there. But, okay, back up a sec. What about the customer list itself? Is that even really a trade secret? I mean, can't anyone just, you know, find people who are interested in Australia and New Zealand?
Ah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's more complicated than it seems. The court jumped the gun by assuming the list wasn't confidential. Figuring out if something's a trade secret, that's all about the specifics.
Okay, so it's not as simple as just shouting, hey, this is top secret. What sorts of things would a court look at?
Think of it this way. Imagine you have a recipe for the most amazing chocolate chip cookies, right? Just scribbling it down on a napkin. It's not exactly a trade secret. But if you lock it up, share it only with a select few under super strict confidentiality, maybe even have some secret techniques, that's a different story. Did AFA do something like that, protect their list? Could competitors just whip up the same list easily? Those are questions for, you know, a jury to figure out.
So we need more info to know if that customer list was really worth protecting?
Exactly. The court made an assumption too early, and that leads to a really important takeaway for anyone listening who deals with sensitive info. Documentation is key.
Yeah, I think our listeners are getting it. Protect your valuable info like it's that prize-winning cookie recipe.
You got it. Protect it like it's worth its weight in gold, because this case shows you never know when you might need to defend its value in court.
Okay, so we know AFA Tours needs to show they actually tried to protect that customer list. How do companies actually do that? I mean, just saying it's confidential doesn't really cut it, does it?
You're right. It definitely takes more than just words. Companies that are serious about their trade secrets, they use like a whole combo of legal stuff, technical things, and physical safeguards too. Like they might have employees sign those non-disclosure agreements, you know, and then they restrict access to sensitive data on their computers and even like physically lock up those confidential papers.
So it's like a multi-layered approach, huh? Legal contracts, digital security, and even good old-fashioned locks and keys. But what about, like, in this digital age where everything's copied and shared so easily? How could you even keep track of stolen data?
That's a really good point, and it shows why digital security is so important these days. Companies really need to have strong measures in place to track who is accessing information and when and from where. Think user activity logs, data encryption, even Wawa marking documents so people can't just copy them.
Sounds like a constant game of cat and mouse to protect trade secrets in the digital world.
Yeah, it can be. But remember, those legal principles, they stay the same. Whether it's a physical customer list or some super complex algorithm, the key is showing you made a real effort to keep it a secret. And that's where documentation is so important. You need to be able to show the court with actual proof that you treated this information as confidential.
All right, so let's bring it back to our listeners for a minute. What's the big takeaway here? Why should someone who's not running a travel company care about this case?
It's a great question. This case has lessons for anyone working with sensitive info. It could be client data, financial records, or even, you know, proprietary software code. Knowing how to spot and protect your trade secrets can be crucial for your career, really.
Absolutely. It might not be about trips to New Zealand, but the ideas here, they apply everywhere. If you have something valuable, you got to detect it. Speaking of valuable things, let's shift gears a bit and dig into that idea of legal certainty that tripped up the district court.
Good point. Yeah, it's worth making sure we're all on the same page about what that means practically. Remember, legal certainty in this case means the court has to be 100% sure the claim is for less than that jurisdictional limit to dismiss it.
Right. So it doesn't mean proving the exact amount of damages right off the bat. Can you give an example of how legal certainty might, you know, play out in a different kind of case?
Sure. Imagine you're suing someone for a breach of contract, and you can clearly show you lost, say, $30,000 because they didn't do what they promised. Even if you haven't figured out all the potential damages yet, that initial $30,000 already shows it's possible to go over that jurisdictional threshold of, say, $25,000.
Oh, I see. So even if some of the damages are still a bit uncertain, that $30,000 is enough to get your case heard, right?
Exactly. And that's what the district court and AFA Tours missed. They were so focused on those two customers, they didn't consider other damages that could easily bump the claim over $50,000.
Like, it's a good reminder that courts can make mistakes, and it's important to know your rights and appeal those decisions when you have to. But okay, let's talk a little more about those potential damages in this case. We mentioned future profits, punitive damages, and injunctions. Can you, like, break those down for our listeners?
Of course. Let's start with future profits. If AFA Tours can show that which church, using their list, led to him, you know, actually getting business and making money, they might be able to get a part of those profits. It can be tricky to, you know, to figure out exactly, but the idea is to compensate them for the financial harm they suffered because of the whole misappropriation thing.
So it's not just about the past, it's about how that stolen info continues to impact AFA's bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. Now, punitive damages, those are different. They're not really about making up for financial loss. They're more about punishing someone for, like, really bad behavior. If the court decides which church's actions were intentional or maybe even malicious, they could award punitive damages on top of those regular damages.
So punitive damages are like saying, we're not just making you pay for the harm you caused. We're going to hit you where it hurts your wallet, so you don't even think about doing it again.
That's a good way to put it. It's all about deterring that behavior. And finally, we have injunctions. Those are basically court orders that say, nope, you can't do that anymore. Like in this case, AFA might ask for an injunction that stops Witch Church from using their customer list or even contacting those customers for business.
So it's a way to stop the damage from getting any worse, right?
Exactly. And injunctions can be incredibly valuable in trade secret cases because they protect the ongoing value of that confidential information. It's not just about money. It's about stopping someone from using that stolen secret.
So we've covered a lot of ground today. I mean, we talked about the specifics of AFA Tours, Inky Witch Church, and we even got some, like, bigger ideas about protecting important information. But before we wrap up, there's something I've been thinking about. We keep using this analogy of a secret cookie recipe, but trade secrets could be so much more than that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Trade secrets, they can be anything that gives a business a leg up on the competition, as long as it's kept under wraps. We're talking formulas, algorithms, how things are made, customer lists like we've seen, even marketing strategies, really anything.
So it's not just like physical stuff you can lock away. It's any kind of information that has value and people don't generally know about. But okay, then how do courts decide if something actually counts as a trade secret? Is there a test they use?
Yeah, there is. Courts usually look at a few things. First, they want to know, is this information really secret? Is it something anyone can find out there? Or has the company actually made an effort to keep it hush-hush?
So, like, back to our cookies. If you find the recipe in a cookbook, it's probably not a trade secret. But if it's like a family recipe passed down for generations and kept super secret, that might be different.
Exactly. Second, courts look at the economic value of the information. Does it give the company a real advantage in the market? If everybody knows the secret, it's not going to be as valuable, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. If your competitors can easily figure out what you're doing, it's not much of a secret anymore.
Right. And last but not least, courts look at whether the company took reasonable steps to protect the info. Remember all that talk about documentation? Did they do things like those non-disclosure agreements, limiting who can access the data, and other security measures?
So you can't just like cross your fingers and hope nobody spills the beans. You got to be proactive about protecting it.
Exactly. The more effort a company puts into safeguarding their information, the more likely a court is to say, yep, that's a trade secret and it deserves legal protection. But let me turn the tables here. What was the biggest takeaway for you from this case?
You know, honestly, it was the fact that the district court just, like, dismissed the case so quickly. They didn't even give AFA Tours a chance to explain themselves, to present their evidence. It really shows how important it is to know those procedural rules and really fight for your right to be heard in court.
Couldn't agree more. Procedure, it really matters. Even if you have a great case, if you don't follow the rules, your whole claim can fall apart. It's a lesson any lawyer or anyone dealing with lawsuits needs to keep in mind.
Well said. And for anyone listening who might be feeling a little overwhelmed, like, whoa, this is all very legal and complicated, remember, you don't have to figure this out alone. Talking to an experienced legal professional can make a huge difference in protecting your valuable information and your business, too.
Absolutely. Legal stuff can seem scary, but having the right guidance can help you understand your rights, protect what's yours, and make smart choices.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into AFA Tours and Key Witch Church. We hope you've learned something valuable about trade secrets, jurisdiction, those all-important procedural rules, and what it really means to keep your confidential info safe.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
And to all our listeners, remember, whether you're a seasoned business pro or just getting started, understanding the legal side of things is crucial for success. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep exploring that fascinating world where law and business meet.